We opened with that song that raises that very valid question, why did my Savior come to earth? That question has been offered up countless times through the ages in a lot of different wordings, but always basically the same question at its basis. The very idea that an innocent person must die because so many guilty people keep on sinning somehow just sort of outrages our sense of justice. And so we ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? As we reflect on that question and consider some possible answers, we quickly come to the point at which we must say that the answer cannot be found in human wisdom. There is no human explanation. There is no man-made explanation for why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. There have been some answers offered by skeptics through the years, and those who have cast doubt upon God and God's will and God's plan. Some have said that Jesus died on the cross, but it really wasn't supposed to happen. It was an accident. There have been those who have come along and offered up the explanation that He brought it all on Himself. It was because of His inflammatory teaching and the fact that He turned so many people against Him with the way and the manner in which He delivered His message. And so it was basically His own fault. There have been those who have said that He was just simply at the wrong place at the wrong time, and it was something that just happened. Then, and perhaps the most insulting of all, is the explanation that has been offered by some that the death of Jesus on the cross was God's plan gone bad. When we think about those kind of answers that people have offered to that question, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? It reinforces even more to us and helps us to understand even more clearly that the answer to that question is not to be found in human wisdom, but it is to be found and can be found in the volume of divine wisdom that we call the Bible. And so, what does the Bible say? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Incidentally, if you listen to the radio program this morning, a lot of the points that I'm going to share with you tonight were used in that radio broadcast this morning. I thought that they were worthy enough to repeat. Number one, Jesus died on the cross in order to fulfill God's purpose for mankind. Now, in our human way of thinking about things and reasoning things out, that doesn't quite make sense. Jesus died on the cross in order to make it possible for God's purpose for mankind to be fulfilled. We could turn that around and get even more clear about it. We could ask the question or make the statement in the form of a question, then you mean if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, then God's purpose for mankind couldn't be fulfilled? I suppose that would be a fair conclusion. Jesus died on the cross in order to make it possible for God's purpose for man to be fulfilled. Scripture tells us that we were created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, and the Bible in several places reveals to us as well the purpose of man. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, for example, says, "This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." to fear God and keep His commandments. That's our duty. That's our purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul says, "To Him be glory in the church." To God is who he's talking about. "To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, describes the way that we are to be as obedient children. You see, in spite of what some people have said, mankind was not created in the image of God and then put on this earth for the purpose of living lives of wickedness and debauchery and degradation. And then after doing that, just to die and fade from memory. That is not why we were made. We were made to obey and glorify God, our Heavenly Father. However, when you look back through history, particularly the history that has been recorded in the Bible, you'll realize that man hasn't done such a good job of it. You can start in Genesis chapter 3 and read about the fall of man initially in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve followed the lead of Satan and turned against God's commandment and disobeyed. In the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel, those two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain the older killed Abel the younger. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 6 and reading through the history of early man, you'll see that man had become so wicked that by that time God decided to destroy mankind from the face of the earth. What was the problem? The problem was sin. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the prophet, speaking the words of God, sheds light upon the problem. God's hand is not short that it cannot reach or save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from God. Your sins, your iniquities have made it so that He has hidden His face from you. The sin of mankind was what went wrong. And Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 tells us that sin brings consequences. Specifically, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And the same thing continues today in the same repetitive steps. Man left alone and to his own devices sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God wanted fellowship with man. God wanted man's obedience. God wanted to be glorified by mankind. But God cannot fellowship sin. And so God's plan to bring mankind back into fellowship had to include the forgiveness of man's sin. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that Christ died to save sinners, of whom, Paul said, "I am chief." So in order to reconcile man back to himself, God sent Christ to die on the cross. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says, "Through Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross." What man had lost in Eden, he gained back at Calvary at the expense of the blood of the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross in order to make it possible for man to be forgiven of sin, and thereby reconciled to God, and once again enabled to have fellowship with God and to glorify God. Number two, Jesus died on the cross that God might be just in saving sinners. Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, how could anybody be saved? How could God save anyone who has sinned and all have sinned? Where's the justice in that? I'll tell you where the justice in that is. It's in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul says it, or the writer of Hebrews says it, in a different way in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so far as the demands of the justice of God is concerned, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one died for all, therefore all died. Then, if Jesus died for all, then all can be saved. But you see, there's a disconnect somewhere in there. There's something that evidently a lot of people don't know. Jesus died for all. Then everybody can be saved. Will everybody be saved? No. Only a few, the Lord said, will be saved. Why is that? It's not because the provision of God's grace is short-handed. Paul says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, Titus 2, verse 11. It's been made available to everyone. If God saves one, then God is obligated to save all, right? Listen to how Paul explains it in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. Verse 26 says, it was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and that He might be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's the hinge point, the faith in Jesus. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. Christ tasted of death for every man by the grace of God. And so God is willing to justify everyone through the blood of Jesus Christ who will come to Him through faith in Christ Jesus. Justice demands that you and I must die for our sins. But there was one who could do it for us, Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, Hebrews 2, verse 9. There's another aspect to that, though, and that is the fact that those who reject Jesus then reject salvation. Those who refuse to come to Him in faith refuse salvation. Jesus died on the cross in order that God might be just in saving sinners. Number three, He died on the cross to show the love of God. History indicates that man generally has a hard time believing that God really cares for us, that God wants us to be saved. So many people are not convinced God really cares. How could God convince a doubting world that He cares? What if He sent His only begotten Son to die for every man? What better way, what more convincing way could there be to convince the world of God's love than for God to send His Son? John 3:16. Too many people have this picture or this mental image of God sitting, as we say, up there, watching us and just waiting for us to step out of line or make a mistake so that He can punish us. That's not at all the picture that Scripture paints of God. Rather, in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, God commends or demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That doesn't sound like God takes delight in punishing those who do wrong. That rather shows God in the picture of His grace and mercy, even His long-suffering. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus died on the cross to show the love of God. And then number 4. Jesus died on the cross in order to induce man, to convince man to forsake sin. Jesus came not to save people in sin, but to save people from sin. His death was not just a way to provide the removal of guilt from past sins. But it was also a way to remove us from the practice of sin in the future by our willingness to obey. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, Paul says, "And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised again." He didn't die so that we could continue in sin. He died so that we would quit sin and live for Him. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." But the death of Jesus on the cross will not help us if we continue in sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin continue to live therein? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might rise to walk in newness of life." Jesus died on the cross. In addition to those other three reasons and a number of others that we could list, but now especially for our consideration, He died on the cross in order to persuade us to forsake sin. Is that the story that has been written by your life? The story of forsaking sin? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that decision is yet to be made. And right this moment, sin is still in control in your life until you decide to forsake it in faithful, obedient response to the Lord's invitation.